Hello there, one and all, and welcome to this week's weekly chat. He's Ralph, I'm Peter, so let's do this.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. Yeah, and so this week, we're not doing this as a video cast, mainly because I've got loads of stuff going on at home at the moment because my wife's seeing her relatives, and I've got the boys and stuff to look after, so doing lots of stuff at the same time. So yeah, so Ralph has decided to use this this opportunity to do the podcast naked, as you can't see anything. So how's it going?
I was gonna say
how's it hanging, but I mean I can't really say that. Yeah, I can't really say that. But
yeah, you can't say that. You've been deplatformed immediately. I have to say it's a bit nippy here in my office. I should have disrobed.
Okay, good. So there we go. So I mean, obviously we're starting off with a rather lovely image in everyone's mind now. So we'll talk about two things, maybe to take your mind off this. So this week we're going to be talking about the FCA, so the UK regulator, dropping its ban on crypto-backed securities. You know, this was taken very well by the market in terms of, you know, the value of Bitcoin went up by something like 5% or something. So, you know, there was that. And it does look like this is yet another move, incremental move by crypto towards the mainstream, after the recent, you know, it also, I think the beginning of the year, wasn't it? ETF approval in the US. Mm-hmm. So this is the latest thing. So that's the first thing. The second thing I'm going to talk about is political footballs, and specifically what happened this week when TikTok, regarding TikTok. So there was a vote where the US House of Representatives passed a bill to ban TikTok from US app stores unless it is sold by the parent company ByteDance to a non-Chinese company. I think specifically to a US company, I think. But interesting that, you know, the US made a law that gave themselves the right to do something that they want to do. So those are two things. The dropping of the ban on crypto-backed securities, and secondly, political footballs, specifically TikTok, but we'll broaden that to talk about other stuff. So with regards to the FCA dropping the ban on crypto-backed securities, do you have any thoughts?
It remains cryptic as ever when you talk about cryptocurrency. It's almost, I would like to see that in a slightly wider context, a context which I mentioned but won't talk about so very much. But I'm just going to say that our politicians are basically, in my interpretation, scrambling for Brexit dividends, and they are trying to find ever new ways to sell the United Kingdom as an investment place to the world. And so what they have now decided to do is to say, well, anything to do with cutting-edge tech, AI, but also blockchain and cryptocurrency is going to be well domiciled in the UK. This is going to be the marketplace for this kind of thing. But then you see that this is in the main and aspirational thought, because the regulator is by no means happy to just simply pass regulations which necessarily facilitate the creation of financial securities linked to cryptocurrency as easily as the politicians would actually want them to do this. So there's a little bit of a gulf here between political aspiration and the regulatory reality. But that's just my first thought, because that's possibly not necessarily surprising, but I'm just mentioning it to highlight that it is there. So what is this thing which we have now as a new financial product in the ever expanding and ever more difficult to understand pantheon of financial products. What the regulator has said is that they are going to accept investments into a new security, I think, as of next month. And this security is an ETN, which stands for Exchange Traded Note. Now, that's different from an ETF, which stands for Exchange Traded Fund. And you can see how fascinating this is. Oh, so
it is. I am on the edge of my seat right now.
Yeah, which unfortunately today nobody can actually see.
No, that's right.
I'm also at the edge of my seat. It's gripping.
It's quite painful. I was going to say it's quite painful in your sort of current condition, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish to say that was just a bad joke. I do not actually
You're fully
sit
closed.
Here in the nude, just for you to know this.
Yeah,
just for you to know. Good. What else do you need to know? You need to know what that is. So basically, an ETF, an exchange tradable fund, is very similar to an investment in a fund, which of course you guys all know what that is. I mean, you basically just invest some money into something owned by Fidelity, something run by Fidelity or BlackRock or any other of the fund managers. Maybe it's a fund which invests in tech stocks, and then you invest in it, and then you own a share of the underlying investments in the pool of tech stocks. We all know what that is. That's basically a fund. So what this fund investment is not, however, it is portable. So if I had that, I can't sell to you my whatever 10% stake in a particular fund run by Fidelity. If I wanted to monetize this, I had to sell it, and then I'll get the cash from Fidelity. An ETF is exactly like an investment in a fund with one major additional property, and that is that it is in fact portable in this way. It is exactly as if you own a share. In this particular share, which has the name Exchange Traded Fund, is however linked to an underlying basket of securities. So think fund investment, plus I can sell it to Peter or to whoever else I want, because it itself is traded on the stock exchange, just like any other stock. And now we move to ETN, the exchange traded note. That is like an ETF, only it doesn't behave like a share, like a stock. It behaves like a bond. So it's like a loan which you give the issuer, and you receive the value of the loan at the end of its term. And it is this particular loan, or the value of it, which is now linked to an underlying basket of securities, just like an ETF is linked to an underlying basket of securities. The difference is an ETF behaves like a share, an ETN behaves like a bond. And now we're finally at the stage where I can reveal what this is. A CETN, as these things are called, is a cryptocurrency-backed ETN, which therefore means that you're investing the money in the form of debt in a basket of underlying cryptocurrencies. The ones which the regulator has said are cool are two assets. One is Bitcoin, and the other one is Ether, the cryptocurrency carried by the Ethereum blockchain. And there we are. So that is basically what one now can do. But I need to also make one final comment, because I just said, this is what you can do. Well, who's you in this? It's not Peter and I.
Yeah,
we are private investors. We cannot invest in this. The regulator has said that this investment is only open to professional investors, institutional investors, the ones like BlackRock and Fidelity, etc.
Yeah.
So in the final analysis, I think what the regulator is sort of doing here, they're feeling out the marketplace. They are and now they are authorizing several new products when they think they are safe to structure. And I would believe that over time, the investments which will flow into these products are going to take away some of the volatility of, in this case, the underlying asset, the cryptocurrency, which we are seeing and which also is giving, I think, cryptocurrency this weird, exotic and slightly disreputable reputation. So I think as time goes on, that is probably what is going to happen, albeit it does not achieve necessarily what the government would want, which means it doesn't necessarily make the UK an immediately more attractive place to domicile your tech businesses.
Okay. I mean, so this is doing is giving professional investors another option, I guess, isn't it?
Really? Yes, it is. It is giving professional investors a relatively easy way to invest in cryptocurrency, a way which is cheaper, has less admin involved in it, and in particular is made through a regulated, standardized product. These last two features, I think, are important: regulated and standardized.
Yeah, because I mean, I suppose the thing is, a lot of people, they'll hear the word crypto and they'll think criminal, or that sort of, you know, dodgy, which, I mean, I have to say, I kind of think, but obviously, you know, it is an asset. It has done very well, and, you know, obviously institutions want funds to do well, so they need access to all the options, I guess. And at least with this, it seems that there is some kind of, well, it's not a guarantee, but I mean, at least it's got a stamp of approval. I suppose it's a bit like, I don't know, buying a baby monitor or something with a kite mark on it or whatever, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about baby monitors, thank God. Yeah. But
yeah.
But I suppose that's true. It's the regulatory bit. That's the seal of approval, which means that the product can be traded on the stock exchange and as such is subject to the formalism and the procedure and the governance of, well, which such things involve, meaning trading products on the stock exchange. So there will be, well, all the sort of regulations. If the price jumps by too much, trading is halted, this sort of thing. So it takes the product out of the sort of area of the unregulated Wild West, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And gets it into a more reputable, well, sorry, that's not really right. It gets it more into a less volatile, more regulated framework. And as such, one believes commensurately into a more reputable stage. You know, the thing about criminals, I don't think about criminals. I think about some new fangled technology, which is potentially groundbreaking. And let's not forget, cryptocurrency is basically it's almost identical with blockchain. And blockchain, I think, is beginning to be accepted by many as a new form of technology, which potentially has lots of benefits. It's just cryptocurrency in itself. I'm still looking for the problem that this asset is actually solving. And the people who have the answer to this are often sort of conspiracy theorists who would like to sell you the idea that your life is being monitored by a big brother and that you have to escape central monitoring by nefarious governmental agents by squirreling your assets away from their reach. And cryptocurrency is an excellent way of doing this. This is sort of the narrative which is which is sort of around cryptocurrency, and I think that is exactly the sort of narrative which would slowly dilute and eventually disappear the more these assets are traded in the form of exchange tradable securities.
Yeah, fair enough. It's good though that I have to say I think that makes it a lot clearer in terms of what we're dealing with and why how important that is in the scheme of things. Yeah. I guess is that's the other thing. Right. Okay. So let's move on to the second topic for today. now this was inspired by the fact that as I said before, the US House of Representatives passed a bill to ban TikTok from US app stores unless it's sold by its parents, ByteDance. So remember, it was quite a while ago. It was the irony is Donald Trump really set this in motion just before he was he was voted out of office and kicking and screaming.
I hear the election was stolen though.
That's right. Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, there we go. There we go. So I think that he was looking to ban TikTok. He was the first one to threaten to ban TikTok. He even went as far as getting his mates. One of his mates, the CEO of Oracle. I mean, so Microsoft were talking about being interested at one stage. Then it was Oracle, and then it all just kind of died a death, really. And then Biden, came in with his Zimmer frame and stuff, and came into office, and there it has kind of been left kind of gathering dust until now, and this looks quite serious now. Now, in the interim period, there have been various different developments whereby we have seen evidence as to. So this is all about this. So the whole reason for this is because there is the perception by the US authorities that TikTok can give access to Chinese authorities to TikTok user data, right? That's where it all centers, right? And the idea is that that's dodgy, and that I know I'm getting a bit technical here, it's dodgy, and that we don't want that is essentially the narrative going on here. Now, the thing is that as things stand at the moment, and from various bits of evidence given by people over the interim period, it does sound like the Chinese authorities do or can would be able to get data on TikTok users. There have been allegations made that they used this to during the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong back in 2019, wasn't it? They've been able to do this. So although it's not a ByteDance policy per se to say, okay, everyone, we allow access, it's just, I believe that it's more of a, the Chinese state says that it can have access to all this information. And basically, if it goes to ByteDance, which owns TikTok, and says, we want this information, they have to give it to them. Mm-hmm. So this is, this is where a lot of the difficulty lies. You've got lots of these kind of, TikTokers up in arms about it, saying this isn't fair, this is my livelihood and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I don't think anyone owes TikTokers a living. I know that sounds a bit harsh, but it's a bit sort of, what you are the one that made that living and great, and you're doing well out of it. But it's not like someone owes you, and it seems to me as well, again, potentially unpopular opinion, but I think if you're a TikToker and you haven't spread your bets and gone on to basically Instagram and put reels on there, you're an idiot. because this has been coming, you know, and you know, it's no good sitting there saying, oh no, I can't do this now, and this is so unfair. I mean, this has been coming for the last few years, so it's their own fault if they can't, if they haven't bothered to act and think that they're bigger than, you know, than everyone else. So, so I know that's pretty pretty harsh opinion, but yeah, I just think that this particular subject is actually, this is TikTok we're talking about now, but it can be, you know, you can look at other things. You know, this is actually, I think, part of a wider picture. But anyway, I'll stop ranting. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, let me just say, there was a little news flash coming up on my Bloomberg screen here, which said Watson's Daily has been banished from TikTok. I don't know what that is about or
okay, yeah.
Why that would possibly happen.
Yeah.
But... yeah, hey, there we are. Yeah, let me, it's a very strange story in the end, if you think about the ins and outs of this. It's entertaining to an extent, but it is also very odd. Now, before I tell you what I sort of make of this, maybe two like factoids before we start, which might be interesting in this in this context. I mean, these are two things everybody knows. But so the first one is that, as you said, Peter, TikTok is owned by ByteDance, and ByteDance is a Chinese company. Now, what does that actually mean? It means that ByteDance is domiciled in China. So that is point number one. And point number two is TikTok is banned in China. So this was a sort of speaking pause here, you know, because I would expect people to think, you what? Seriously? It's actually banned in China? Well, if it's banned in China, why are they up in arms about the US wanting to ban it in their country? I mean, they don't even allow it in theirs. But of course, that would be a bit of a flippant response. But I just think it is interesting to note that TikTok is banned in China. The Chinese government does not allow TikTok to run in the way it runs in the US and outside of China in its own country.
Because the thing is, it also owns, I mean, ByteDance also owns, I forgot the name of it, but basically it is the Chinese, it is the original TikTok.
Lemonade? No.
No, God, what's it called? What's it called? I'm trying to think what it's called now. But anyway, basically it's, TikTok is available is outside China, and the one that I can't think of is inside China.
Oh, the Douyin.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's the one. That's
yeah,
the one.
I didn't know what you were in China. TikTok runs in China. ByteDance runs the sort of TikTok equivalent, and I don't know what the pronunciation is. Is it Douyin?
Douyin or something? Yeah.
Anyway, that company, that particular service is monitored and censored by the Chinese government. So if we just add up these three factoids, that's actually quite interesting, because the Chinese government clearly regards an uncensored TikTok as a security risk, or at least as a hindrance in its attempt to manipulate its citizenship. It does so to the extent that it doesn't run it in its own country, but runs a version of it, which it can censor and so manipulate. So it is clear that China uses elaborate technological means to manipulate and control its citizenry. That's not new, but it's interesting in this context of TikTok. Now, there's a third factoid which I want to share with you guys, and this is in fact that there is a Chinese national security law that forces companies in China to turn over information when the Chinese government wants them to. So if the US says that this might happen, they have good grounds on which to suspect that this could happen. It's not as if there is any kind of form of moral suasion, you know, indirect persuasion, which the government needs to use. No, it can directly point to this particular security law. It could turn up at ByteDance's offices and say, give us the data, and there would be nothing ByteDance could do legally to say, you cannot have this data. However, what data would that be? This is just the data held on Chinese servers, domiciled in China. It is not the data held on US servers, ByteDance owned US servers domiciled in the US. That data is ring-fenced, and the Chinese security law has nothing to do with it, at least in my naive interpretation of it. One wonders how far this goes, but there's certainly no direct influence in an institutionalized way which the Chinese government has over US citizens' data, which are being used on TikTok. And so if you add all this together, you wonder what this actually is all about then. Because, I mean, the US is claiming that there is a security risk here. You wonder how much this, to which extent this security risk actually exists. Because, as I said, the ByteDance owned TikTok data in the US are ring-fenced. And you also, of course, wonder whether a ban to TikTok, off TikTok, would then not have to extend to any kind of Chinese-owned social media company operating in the US. And finally, I think we're all aware of how this works. I mean, data collected by social media companies, Meta, of course,
Alphabet with Google,
Alphabet or X, Twitter, they're all gathered in similar ways, and then they're sold on to agents. So if the Chinese government is interested in this data, there are ways to get this already. Which gets me all back to your original sort of opening when you said it was political football, because I do think it has probably got to do with that. And that's probably most of it. You know, this particular law, which is about to be passed, I mean, it has passed the House of Representatives with overwhelming majority, but it still has to go through the Senate. And even then, it is unclear whether it would ever actually be enacted. President Biden has said he would sign it, but it's still unclear that even then it would be enacted. So the status quo might well continue as it is at the moment. But so one final thought, and then I'll hand the football back to you.
What for a good kicking?
Which is, you see, that's right. What the US is doing is that they're just basically blackmailing ByteDance. They're saying to them, look, you have got to sell yourself to somebody, in brackets, preferably us. And if you don't, then we're shutting off your service in the US. That's it. Take it or leave it. That's the way in which it's not actually a law which is giving itself the rights to buy it. It's blackmail. I think it's blackmail. And that's how this works. And this is what I can't pronounce his name. Nuchin, is it?
I always say Mnuchin.
Mnuchin, annoyingly, he has an M and an N in initial position, two consonants and no vowels. I find that very difficult to pronounce. So Mnuchin is basically saying that he's putting together a syndicate of buyers, and that is what this would be. So first you say to ByteDance, you can't operate here unless you sell, sorry, if you don't sell yourself to somebody, then you can't operate here. And second, and oh, look, we've got this syndicate here up and running, which will sort of step in and buy you. So I think that's how this is supposed to happen.
I mean, I think that America's backing itself into a corner here, because it knows that China says we are not going to let this happen. And I don't, I mean, actually, China changed their laws a few years ago. In fact, I think it was at the time when, you know, Trump was looking like he was going to shut stuff down in America, you know, TikTok down in America, and was going to sell it to, or was, you know, was lining Oracle up to buy it. I'm pretty sure that at that point, that's when the Chinese changed the law. And I think what it was to do with the intellectual property behind the algorithm that powers the recommendations in TikTok. Mm-hmm. Now that's TikTok's secret sauce. So basically, they were saying, okay, you could buy it, but you're not allowed this bit. And it's this bit that's the most valuable bit. So so that's when, it seems to me, that's when things kind of started falling away there. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as I know, things have not changed. Therefore, and the irony is, I'm pretty sure that the Chinese authorities hate, you know, hate ByteDance and hate TikTok. They, you know, people spending their time swiping on videos of kittens and things is not a good use, you know, productive use of time, which is why they've done things like they've severely restricted gaming for kids, because it's sort of, you know, because that was again in response to more people, young people getting addicted to playing games. And then the state came in and said, right, this is bad. We're, you know, and it basically clamped down on gaming's companies for a couple of years.
Well, and of course, they banned TikTok. They're not running TikTok in their own country. Clearly they hate it.
Yeah. And so all of this kind of stuff is going on in the background. So this is how much I think, you know, China is very, it shows you just how strongly China feels about this, because it is lining itself up to basically defend something, you know, ByteDance stroke TikTok, which it hates, you know, inherently it hates it, but it doesn't want it to go to the Americans. Now, so there's this, and the reason why I say it's political football is because, of course, since particularly since Trump came in 2016, you know, there've been sanctions have been been tightening across the board in terms of you know, exports to China and all that kind of thing. And I think that at the time, so I think that over the years, the companies that the Americans have really clamped down on, well, there's one in particular that's really clamped down on, is Huawei. Because remember, Huawei is the one that had its fingers in the pies all around the world for 5G and 5G networks. And basically, Trump did a world tour of slagging off Huawei and telling everyone, don't use Huawei because they're a security risk in your that will be embedded in your 5G network. And by the way, if you do use them, we're not going to use you, or we're going to restrict what we supply to you. And so everyone, or most of Europe and obviously America, everyone complied with that. And that was a real kick in the teeth for Huawei. And that then resulted in the uptick of Ericsson and Nokia, because they make this network stuff, and suddenly they got all this business that would have gone to Huawei. So America has been clamping down on tech exports. It's been clamping down on Huawei in particular. And now it looks like it's starting to clamp down once more on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, we see that China is now, you know, almost de-emphasizing or making life very much more difficult for Tesla and Apple.
Yes.
So it's almost like they're going, okay, I'll see you at Huawei, I'll raise you an Apple.
Yes. Right? Yeah, exactly.
And so, and this, and the thing is, yeah, this is the thing, is that, you know, Tesla, Apple, roughly, they've got, you know, revenues. China accounts for 20% of their global revenues. So this is a big, this is a serious thing. But, you know, China has banned state employees from driving Teslas, mm-hmm. owning Apple phones. And that's had a real impact, especially sort of towards the end of last year, beginning of this year. That is really starting to really kick in. And this could become a much more serious problem. And it seems to me that maybe, you know, the sanctions, I don't know, this is an extension. This is the evolution of the result of those sanctions that have been put in place, that now they are targeting specific companies to really, you know, make their feelings known and hit them where it hurts in the pocket. And I think that's what, so, I mean, obviously we're talking about TikTok initially, but actually I think that's part of a broader, part of the whole kind of trade war going on between China.
Exactly, it's a trade war. If you think about war and cold war, this is currently a cold trade war, by which I just mean that it is not officially fought through the imposition of tariffs, but it is done in this sort of way, by which is actually normally done by feigning a national security angle, and that gives you the legitimation, the justification to do all sorts of things. I would be interested in seeing where this will go next, because, I mean, I was thinking to myself, you know, if the US has a genuine or perhaps trumped up security concern, and if they wish, basically what they're saying then is, ByteDance, you have to sell yourself to us, and if you don't, then you cannot operate in the US anymore. All based on the idea that there is a security risk through the fact that a Chinese domiciled company owns data collected from US domiciled people, citizens. Now, would that threat then not fall away if ByteDance was not Chinese domiciled? I was wondering. And so if I was a ByteDance the CEO, then I would certainly try to explore to which extent I cannot simply change my location of incorporation. And more than just legally, just basically leave China, set myself up in the US, and run the only business which I can run free of manipulation and censorship anyway, which is TikTok. It's not apologies to Chinese people listening to my terrible pronunciation. And that might do it. Or you could, of course, also IPO the TikTok part, which would be a partial sale, and then you are not the majority owner anymore, and that would achieve a similar thing. So I wonder whether there are avenues open to ByteDance to to circumvent this particular threat. And if it did, I would be interested in seeing the response of the US, because if they still insisted that that is still not good enough, then we know what it is. Then it is certainly political football and a game of mirrors here, isn't it, a little bit? So this is why I said initially, it's a very strange story. The intentions of the players are not obvious to me, unless you would simply say that this is all part of the wider bracket of a trade war, which has been kicked off by Trump and has been continuing and developing ever since.
Absolutely. I mean, they're going to have to come up with something pretty quick, though, because, like I say, it sounds to me like they're backing themselves into a corner. They're basically saying, right, you've got to sell or you're banned. And the Chinese are saying, we're not going to sell.
Exactly.
You know, so that's you know, there's only one way that's going to go. If there aren't any more, you know, there's no kind of third ways or whatever, you know, through this. Now, the other thing worth mentioning as well, of course, is that arch stirrer in chief, Donald Trump, has managed to stir this one up as well by ironically being the one who actually started the whole we're gonna ban TikTok in the first place back in 2019 or whatever. He has now said, I don't think I will ban I wouldn't ban TikTok. What is Biden doing? I mean, I as am cynical in the sense that I think that is just a ploy to get young voters on his side, or certainly TikTok fans on his side, because you could just imagine it, can't you? He'll get all the TikTokers on his side and saying, "Hey, I'll look after you. Yeah, it's okay. It's all good. You know, it's all good." And these TikTokers are all gonna, you know, or potentially they could all swing in behind Trump. And mobilize younger, what is can be a disaffected demographic of the voting population, and actually, you know, motivate them and mobilize them for Trump. So, I mean, I don't know how many would do that, but I think it's certainly something that he is thinking about when he says this. It's certainly given what he said before about TikTok.
Yeah, it's puzzling. With Trump, I never know why he says the things he says, and I also never know whether he thinks when he says anything. By which I don't even mean in a negative way, because I know that the sort of idea is that Trump says provocative things because he's got some clever strategy behind it. I don't believe that. I don't think he has a strategy. I think he says what is in his mind in the moment. And many people will not know this because it was only live for about a week. But I just happened to spot it. And it was in the middle of his administration where he actually suggested to take guns away from the citizens in America. Let us please pause. That is an absolute bombshell. Yeah. I mean, a person like Trump suggests this, and of course he didn't mean it, but he was backed into a corner. He was just saying whatever was in his mind. And so in this particular case, yes, it may well be that he said something that his advisors told him to say, and he just said it. But you always wonder. I mean, yes, maybe he's looking for a younger demographic here, but then of course he will lose something as well. I mean, there will be some people in America who's not part of his base who do regard TikTok as a viable security risk. And now they hear the president they are about to vote for say they wouldn't actually ban TikTok. So what he gains in some younger demographic, he may lose in another demographic. So I don't know to which extent that is a strategic ploy, or just simply another perhaps erratic or certainly amplified statement by Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just basically enjoys shaking trees, doesn't he? Really, he'll say something, see what the reaction is, and then say, okay, this one is more favourable, so let's go for that. That's what it
if
seems.
If it is even that, like I said, yeah. I doubt even that. I doubt even that. I just think he is erratic. He says whatever is in his mind, and then there will be some consequences. Then his advisors react to the consequences, and then he does something else. Sometimes this actually has, interestingly, a positive impact. I mean, it's not all negative. I mean, the Abraham Accord in the Middle East were a consequence of this. But I believe we have now gone from TikTok to, and now we're in the Middle East. I think I certainly have to stop.
fair enough. Well, there we go. I mean, we've taken you on this podcast on a journey from crypto yes. through to social media and politics and beyond. So anyway, I think that's we'll probably just stop it there. But thank you so much, as always, Ralph, for your insight and expertise. Thank you for listeners for listening. For the last, I suppose, the first quarter of this year, the podcast has been somewhat less regular than it has been up till now. But there are a few, I keep saying this, but there are a few changes going on in the background. So don't worry, it's all good. Come back with more exciting stuff, and I believe we're going to try to come back tomorrow for the usual format of this podcast. So thank you very much indeed for your patience, for listening, and we'll be back again very soon. So many thanks
a lot, guys, for listening, and thanks for having me.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Bye.